Yeah. 720 WGN, I'm John Landecker, welcoming to the John Landecker Broadcast Podium. Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. Hey, Blockbuster, how you doing?
Hey, John, it's been a while. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well, as a matter of fact. Thanks for coming on. What's left to be said about Top Gun Maverick? Well, I'm going to tell you. Well, first of all, $151 million Memorial Day opening, the best ever for a Tom Cruise film. So there's that. Then there's, I understand that Generation Z? What's Generation Z?
Yes.
Generation Z, yeah. That's where the ticket purchases are coming from.
Yeah, for a sequel.
Yeah.
For a movie that, you know, has come out 30, for a sequel to a movie that came out 36 years ago, which is
right.
As old as I am. The movie's as old as I am.
Exactly. Yet that's what's driving, and you know, basically an older audience for Top Gun Maverick, which is something you don't usually see.
Yeah, I will say I was at an IMAX screening on Friday night. It was one of those 6:45, 7 o'clock screenings. So you would consider that probably like a prime time to go and expect a packed house.
Right.
And that's what I walked into. My mother went with me. That was her first film that she had been to see in a theater since Twister, which came out 26 years ago. And I'm not exaggerating. She has always been a big Tom Cruise fan.
Oh, yeah.
And the trailers for this really kind of hooked her. She was like, I really do want to go see that. And I thought, okay, Mom, if you want to go see that, I'll take care of everything. I'll get the tickets. We'll be all set. And on, you know, the Monday prior to it opening, she goes, are we going Friday night? And I said, you bet we are. And so she had an absolute ball. Now, also, John, if you think about it, that's also her first IMAX feature. So she went in, you know, expecting it to be a movie theater like she was used to seeing, and it kind of took her by surprise,
I would think so. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, go ahead. That was basically it. Mom was really shocked and had an absolute blast the entire time she was there.
Speaking of going to the theater for the first time, I did go to a screening at the Chicago Film Critics Festival a couple of weeks ago for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife and I, for the first time since the pandemic, went into a movie theater over the weekend and thoroughly enjoyed not only the movie, but the whole experience. Something that hadn't been done in 2 or 3 years. And, you know, Top Gun Maverick is exactly what you think, even if you haven't seen it. There's Tom Cruise. There's a bunch of good-looking young people. Here's a bunch of really fast planes. They're going to go zoom, 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 zoom. And it's really loud. And I love it. I love loud music. I love loud movies. It drives me crazy when they don't have the volume on. And this one, I don't know about your screening, but the showing I was at, it was almost too loud.
Well, and I think that part of that is, in a way, I believe, for this particular film, a bit by design.
Yeah,
think that it's meant to rock you right out of your chair. Not only, you know, with the pumping soundtrack, because if you know anything about Top Gun, its soundtrack, the original Top Gun, its soundtrack is quite famous.
Oh, yeah.
Including its, you know, original score by Harold Faltermeyer. This particular film had a lot of contributions from Faltermeyer. Hans Zimmer was involved. I believe the composer, whose name escapes me, I believe it's like Lauren Falda, who Tom Cruise has worked with before on Mission Impossible, kind of produced the score for this film. But this was really a hybrid. It took a lot from, you know, its original namesake. It also had a lot of new music added to it, on top of a great deal of music that some audiences are going to, you know, recognize right off. And secondly, Lady Gaga's main track, Hold My Hand, which if you've watched any press from this film, Cruise has given her a lot of praise, saying that, you know, her song really kind of brought together everything that we wanted for this particular film musically. It ushered it into this new era, but it also kind of speaks to what Berlin's Take My Breath Away did for the first film. And I think he's right. I mean, to be honest, it's kind of a subtle, it plays diegetically within the scenes. But then, of course, it plays non-diegetically later on in the film. And I think that it really, like you said, the loud music, the loud sound effects, and then, of course, those jet engines, which, are unmistakable.
Yeah.
And there are, a lot of great visuals in this film, too. They designed entirely new forms of tech so that the cameras that they mounted inside the cockpits of the planes provided entirely new angles and visual looks. Not only, like what we were used to in the film directed by Tony Scott back in 1986. That I think was also a big draw for why Cruise was so on board to make this particular film, because Hollywood's tried to get him to make it for a long time. In fact, I was watching a behind the scenes featurette for the first film a while back. And you could tell that, like, the buzz for the film at the time was huge. And then an interview with Cruise just a few years ago when they were first marketing Top Gun Maverick, because if you recall, like you said, you hadn't been to a movie theater in almost 3 years.
Yeah.
This film has been done and was ready to release in 2020. So it's been sitting on a shelf, essentially. And they played the long game, and they wanted to release it when audiences would be back in the theater, when they could have a big event-type summer premiere and really go for that Blockbuster of the Year title. So far, it's making money. It's one of the biggest. It's the biggest opening Tom Cruise has ever had as a star. I think it's undoubted. It's undoubtedly going to be one of the bigger money makers this summer. It's already, I think, eclipsed the $300 million mark on day 4, I believe it is, worldwide.
Wow!
So, I mean, if this picture climbs to a billion, I wouldn't be surprised. Just because of the fact that I think the word of mouth and the energy in the theater, at least in my screening, and I'm sure you can probably back me up on this, the energy in my theater was just through the roof when the movie ended.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was a bit of applause. There were people getting up and smiling. I could tell that a few people had even cried a couple of times. Like,
wow.
It was one of those things where this movie, and why, for me, this movie works so well, is that it juggles everything you want out of a really big blockbuster release, which is it's got to have some good drama, some good acting in the dramatic sequences. And there's a particular scene with Cruise and one other actor who, for the sake of not spoiling anything, I will simply say it is probably the best scene in the movie as far as acting goes. Like, I can't stop thinking about how good the scene was. And there's not a single plane in it. I mean, it's just two actors acting. Then you go on and you have great action. I mean, I'm talking amazing aerial photography. There's an opening sequence that involves a test flight that obviously Maverick is flying that really kicks things off on a big note. And then once he starts training these other pilots, which is most of what you see in the trailers, if you've watched any trailer for this movie, all of that kind of takes it up to another level, right? Like, And now it gets really exciting and real heart pounding on a different sort of note. And then by the end of it, the last 45 minutes, no spoilers, but I will say that I think it goes up to an even higher level. On top of that, laced throughout the entire film is some very well-placed humor. There are some great jokes that really did land in the audience that I was with. So I was laughing. I wouldn't say I cried, but I will say I might have got a little misty because I thought that they did an excellent job with certain dramatic scenes. And then by the end of it, just what a ride was all I could think of as soon as it was over. This is a true Blockbuster cinema experience.
Well,
that
Blockbuster,
I think people should go see.
Blockbuster truly is your first name. Blockbuster.
It is. Yeah.
Blockbuster. Blake Stubbs is with us, and we'll do more when we come back on 720 WGN. GN, I'm John Landecker. Thanks for tuning in. It's 8:19. We're talking movies with Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. We're at Maverick Top Gun right now. One of the things that impressed me was an obvious effort on the part of not only the movie makers, but also the theater owners. Now, I'm going to say, to support my point here, I'm not advocating people go to an AMC theater. It was just that's the one I was at. Tom Cruise comes on at the beginning of the film, just addressing the audience. I'd never seen that before. Had you?
I have been to a few screenings in the past due to being at film festivals and some select media-related screenings where that has happened, but it is very rare. Very rare that something like that happens.
I mean, we're sitting there. Tom Cruise comes on as Tom Cruise and just thanks people for coming into the theater, which I thought was extraordinary because what we're coming out of or what we're still dealing with COVID-19 and going back into the movie theaters, obviously there's a huge push to do that, not only with the Tom Cruise message, but also before the film. And I think people might have seen this commercial on TV with Charlize Theron, who's at an AMC theater. And she sits down and says, "We do this for the big screen." I mean, these are A-list personalities. Obviously, they're very interested in having a successful film. But it impressed me that they were putting together these kind of extra messages between the filmmakers and the theaters and the people who go to movies. I just thought, well, they're into it. And also, in the previews, I got to see the trailer for the next Tom Cruise Mission Impossible film. So, you know, it's the gift that just keeps on giving.
It is. And I got to be honest, that trailer, which is, it feels like, I mean, the length of it feels like a trailer, but what they're showing you feels like just a teaser. And the movie looks wild. It looks exciting. It looks like a great continuation from Mission Impossible Fallout, which was the sixth entry in that series. There was something of note recently at the Cannes Film Festival. Tom Cruise was actually awarded an honorary Palme d'Or award, which is the highest award that they give at that festival. It's got a lot of history behind it, and he was given an honorary one for his contributions to cinema. And he did like a 45 or 50-minute sit-down Q&A. And just, they were asking him all kinds of different questions about, you know, how they made Top Gun Maverick, what drives him to make movies, et cetera. And the one big thing I took away from it, and I think that, you know, regardless of his age, which, by the way, he doesn't look it, and everybody, I think, agrees with that, regardless of, you know, whatever the last movie might have done, his take is always that he makes big movies for big screens. He wants to see his movies played in theaters. He wants people to go to them, buy the popcorn, do the whole thing up. And he is kind of in this, I wouldn't call him an old guard, but a guard of personalities in Hollywood who firmly believe in the cinematic experience, which is not, and I'm not knocking anybody sitting at home and watching things. I've done it. We've all done it, especially in the last few years. But there are some things that need to be made and put up on a big screen. And his manifesto essentially was, that's what I'm here to do. My movies need to be played on a big screen. And this one, and including the trailer for the next Mission Impossible, he's got me convinced. I don't know about you, John, but he's got me convinced that he's here to play and he's here to make big movies for big screens.
Well, if it's a Tom Cruise film, I'll probably watch it. I mean, they're just, well, Mission Impossible, we've seen numerous Mission Impossible films. I thought they were all good. Getting back to, and also with Top Gun Maverick, you mentioned you took your mother. You can take, this is a PG-13 film, you can literally take just about everybody to this movie.
It's true.
I mean,
I agree.
There's no offensive language, I believe. I think somebody gives somebody the finger once, but that's it. And there's a romantic scene in a boudoir, but it's done very tastefully in the fact that Cruise and Jennifer Connelly are, you know, going to get it on, going to hook up.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just cuts to them lying in bed, which I thought was very tasteful and unique that you didn't normally see that so much in a film. And I'm sure that's, well, I no doubt that that's all on purpose. And it just addresses the audience that Cruz is going after. I got a text here from somebody who really likes this movie from 319. I saw the special sneak preview a week ago on Tuesday in Naperville, and they ran the Tom Cruise introduction. Saw it on the same theater in IMAX Sunday night, and they didn't show the introduction. So I'm not sure how that decision is arrived at, but I'd keep it if I had to make the choice, because it's just a cool thing. Go ahead. You sounded like you were
going to... I would agree with you there, John. I think that that's one of those things where, given that this is probably, and I wouldn't say for sure for everybody, but I think this is probably, for a great deal of people, their first movie back in a movie theater.
Right.
And if the star of the movie wants to deliver a special message, just thanking them for doing so, given all the circumstances and, you know, everything that we all collectively went through, for whatever reason, I feel like it would just loosen the audience up a little bit. And get them ready to see whatever the spectacle is that's about to unfold. And I would say, hey, this particular film has a great deal of awesome spectacle to unfold for an audience. And I think that there's something that should be noted, too. The film is dedicated to Tony Scott, who directed the first Top Gun, who Tom Cruise has always had a great amount of respect for and has always spoken very highly of. In media, because he's done multiple films with him. He also made Days of Thunder with Tony Scott. But I think what should go definitely and be mentioned, I should say, is this film has a lot of homage to the original film. A lot of things that are, when the movie opens, you're going to feel like you're watching the original film. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a really cool way. Then it takes its own sort of story and begins to unfold on its own. But there are still little things sprinkled throughout that are very much homage, some entire scenes, in fact, to the original film. So audience members who really love that first film, I think, are going to very easily transition into being big fans of the sequel. And I know that a lot of people think sequels aren't as good as the first. I very much enjoyed this. I think that this film had so much time to be developed and get put together. And then, of course, the wait for it made it even more palpable for that opening night. I think in the long run, people are going to say they like Top Gun Maverick more. And you know what? I won't argue with them.
No,
because I really enjoyed it.
I agree. Totally. I mean, there's been years and decades have gone by, excuse me, for the movie industry, hello, to make advances in visuals and sound. And this movie delivers on both counts. Plus, you know, there's no monsters. Nobody's coming in from outer space. Spider-Man's not flying around. It's a throwback to the movie theaters and movies that weren't so special effect oriented. I mean, there's special effects, obviously, but you know what I'm talking about. It's not a monster film or a dystopian society or any of the other stuff that's been making box office in the past year.
Right. No, and for several years, to be quite honest.
Right,
I mean, this is about as not comic book as it can get. And I'm not saying comic book movies are bad.
Right. No.
I think I got my namesake, Blockbuster Blake Stubbs, for reviewing mostly comic book films on these airwaves. But I felt like this particular film definitely set itself aside and could very well be, and I think, you know, you can ask me again come September, but I think this is going to be the movie of the summer. And I feel like it's going to be talked about. I feel like it's going to take people who haven't been to a movie theater in a long time and put them in a seat. I also think it's going to take the type of people who don't go to a movie twice, and they're going to probably break their whatever their rule is that they don't, and they're going to go see it a second time. To be honest, John, I can't wait to see it again, and I'm probably going to do it sometime this week.
You're going to take your mom?
If she wants to go, she's more than welcome to. I've got a couple other friends who have expressed interest as well, and I thought, you know what? Yeah, you don't have to really sell me on it. I'm in. Let's go.
Yep.
So it's just a matter of finding the time. And I think midweek here, you know, I got to make a decision, but it's going to happen. Well, I know I will see this at least one more time.
Well, thank you, Blockbuster Blake Stubbs, for being with us. Always great to talk to you. And I don't think we should wait so long.